Airbnb, 9221 882. Want to hear from you about, particularly if you have a property that you list on Airbnb. Maybe it's a room in your own house, maybe it's a granny flat, maybe it's a sort of self-contained apartment, I'm not sure, whatever it may be. Like to hear from you if you're in that situation. Would also like to hear from you if you've used Airbnbs elsewhere. Are they really competing with hotels? Are Airbnbs really competing with hotels, or are they different experiences? 9221 882. What I do know is that the Australian Hotels Association are renewing their efforts to try and get government to put some more boundaries around Airbnb. The CEO of the AHA here in WA is Bradley Woods. Bradley, good morning.
Morning.
You've been sort of anti-Airbnb for a while. What's sort of got your ire at the moment?
Well, we're not anti-Airbnb. What we're anti is illegal listings that don't meet with normal compliance required by state, federal and local government regulations. Airbnb is just a online travel agent, but it's the listings that are contained on it that are the concern, particularly when they're sole occupancy apartments and houses that are competing directly against licensed, legitimate hotels, apartments that are being built and meet the regulations and the codes and paying the full tax system. So what we don't want to see is one group of operators competing directly against the other, where one doesn't have to meet regulations and pay taxes and the others do.
Well, what's wrong with the regulations?
Well, the regulations are there and they there's nothing wrong with them at all. But we just want the operators that list on Airbnb to meet them as well. They're about fire protection, they're about emergency codes, they're around signage, they're around proper materials, they're around building a building that's meant to be for short-term stay. It's about paying local government rates and taxes and charges, state land tax contributing to the cost of the industry, and that's what we think is a fair rule.
Well,
but these types of operators meet their obligation as well.
Some of those obligations clearly won't be being met by your average Airbnb. So signage, for example, it's hard to imagine an Airbnb, someone's spare room or a self-contained apartment with hotel-style signage. But other things, I mean...
Well, hold on a minute, Gareth. I mean, what is unreasonable about that type of premises,
having
an emergency exit sign?
If
there's a fire, they should be also complying with the regulations as well. People don't want to be living in a short-stay accommodation premises that is a fire trap because there's not proper signage.
Yeah, well, it wasn't my intention to minimise that, but other things, I think, you know, it's pretty hard to get out of paying land tax if you own an investment property. It's pretty hard to get out of paying the council rates.
Well, they're not paying the council rates at the same rate as the hotels. They're listing them as private properties. They're not listing them as commercial hotels. That's the issue. At the end of the day, it's not about, you know, whether someone should be avoiding or evading the proper regulations. The regulations and laws are there already. The question is, should they be allowed to promote themselves utilising this type of online website if they're not meeting what is expected community standards of regulation, safety and taxation?
To what extent is your concern about regulation, or to what extent is that regulation issue used to basically protect from competition?
None at all. The issue here is about if they meet the regulation, if they pay the taxes and charges the same as any other hotel or service department, they can compete very freely against all the other operators. What we just want to see is that everyone has the same level, type of regulations and charges. The issue here is around registering Airbnb properties. So one, requiring them to be legitimately licensed and registered the same way everyone else is, and to have certain standards and controls around them. It's not just about the building regulations, but it's around meeting some basic compliance requirements, like being registered and listed.
What extra costs does that impose? To be licensed and registered, what cost is a hotel operator bearing that someone who's renting out a Northridge apartment unregistered? What extra cost does it impose?
Well, the existing cost is built into the buildings themselves. So things around the fire escapes, things around the building materials, the thickness of walls, the integrated smoke detection systems and fire sprinkler systems, these are costs that are inherently built in, and they could be anywhere between 30 and 40% of a build cost between a commercial short-stay apartment building and a normal residential apartment building. There is a huge difference. The issue for the property owners that are owning licensed hotel and apartments is that they've borne that original cost from the date of inception of the building, and they continue to meet higher costs through land tax, through state and government, local government charges and taxes. The issue is simply that we want to see everyone operating on the same premise, the same level playing field. That's fair competition.
Some of these, I mean, if it's things about building codes, some of these things could never be brought up to standard.
Well, that's right, because they were never built or intended to be for that purpose. At the end of the day, why should those premises that were not built or intended to be for that purpose be operating in that way? They weren't meant or intended to ever be for short stay accommodation because they're not safe. And what they're doing is impacting directly. Correct. They're not built for short stay accommodation. There is a whole building code of Australia required. We're not going to, well, are you suggesting we throw out the building code, Gareth, just because we want to let some cheap operators get away with making a huge profit?
Well, I'm just wondering about the real level of risk here as opposed to those issues being used as a shield for competition.
Well, there's no shield for competition. We have huge competition in the hotel industry.
Yeah.
That's an Airbnb line. Don't fall for that.
Well, I'm not falling for any of it. These are my questions, Bradley, not Airbnb's questions.
Well, they sound like Airbnb's questions because this is about meeting safety standards. This is about protecting the jobs of people who are working in the hotel industry that have legitimately built the premises to meet the Australian Building Code standards so that they can operate a hotel, so that they can operate short stay accommodation. These are the requirements. It's like saying to someone, you can go off and be a doctor, but you don't have to go and get a medical degree and get qualifications. What's the difference here?
Well, I don't think it's quite like that. Anyway, I'll be interested to hear from listeners.
Well, why isn't it?
Interested to hear from listeners. 922 11 882. If you have used Airbnb in this city or in other cities, what's your experience been? If you're a property owner, listing a spare room, or if you've bought an investment property specifically for the purpose of renting it out on Airbnb, I'd be interested to hear from you. 922 11 882. Bradley Woods is the CEO of the AHA. And he's on the line. He's making his case. He's making it strongly, as he always does.
And Gareth, just on that point, in terms of people's experiences overseas, they will have been staying in Airbnbs in places like San Francisco and Paris, where they are licensed and they are registered and they are meeting local requirements, because laws in other states, other jurisdictions, are stepping up to require regulation of Airbnb properties. People of Western Australia shouldn't be operating in substandard third world type conditions. The first world is moving to regulate Airbnb type properties.
Do you use Uber?
Yes, I do.
Did you use it when it was unlicensed and illegal?
No, I didn't. I waited until it was a legitimate service.
Okay. Do you see any analogies between the sort of the economic disruption to the taxi and transport industry and the economic disruption that some are arguing is occurring to traditional hotel operators here?
Yes, absolutely. And that's why Uber has to meet those regulatory standards and the government's moving to require that. And that's why taxis have got additional advantages over Airbnb as well. I think there has to be a difference between what is the, you know, this sort of breakthrough economy, this unregulated economy, and the legitimate licensed taxpaying economy. And there should always be a difference until they meet the same standards.
I've jumped on Airbnb this morning just to have a look. I entered Perth, Western Australia, checking in this Friday, checking out Sunday. 737 properties come up, ranging from about $79 in total for 3 nights accommodation, which is pretty cheap. Goes up to several hundred as well, depending on the accommodation that, you know, that you're looking for. There is clearly a different sort of experience that's offered by Airbnb, isn't it? I mean, if you're looking for a concierge, if you're looking for turndown service, if you're looking for a restaurant or room service, all of the things that come along with the hotel experience, you're not going to get it with Airbnb.
No, that's right. And it's the hotel experience that creates the jobs. The jobs in those other areas are what create the employment in the hotel industry. Airbnb listings don't create employment. The traditional market for Airbnb originally was shared accommodation. I've got a spare flat, I've got a spare room, and I'm going to let that out and someone will have a shared experience with me. And it's moved beyond that so that over 60% are now sole listings. They're just straight apartment or house listings competing directly with the hotel market. So it's become very different to what it was. And that's the concern, is that if they're going to be in that space, then they should be paying the same regulation cost charges, inbuilt costs, but also the impact they have on employment is really important.
Airbnb lobbying against this, they're talking to government ministers and so on?
Of course, and you know, I think it's pretty wild for an organisation that doesn't pay corporate taxation of any note in Australia. We're certainly waiting for Airbnb to say what they contribute in Australia in terms of corporate taxation and charges to be lobbying government. I mean, no taxation, there shouldn't be representation. It's an internationally, it's an international conglomerate that takes the opportunity where it can. The funds go out of the country and, we'd like to see them paying fair taxes and charges in Australia as well.
Is there an Australian state on whose regulations you would like to see WA's mould?
Not yet. I don't think they've got it right. San Francisco, which is the home of Airbnb, has got it right. They've got proper regulations in place. They've got a licensing and a registration system in place. And the first step in all of this should be having a registration system for Airbnb operators. And I think that's a fairly reasonable starting point to at least know who they are, and government can know who they are and then decide from there what the level of regulation and standards there are. But at this point in time, Airbnb is even opposing that basic standard that they've accepted in places like San Francisco. So if it's good enough for San Francisco and California, why isn't it good enough for Perth and WA?
Okay. Thanks, Bradley. Appreciate your time.
No worries, Gareth. Thank you.
Bradley Woods from the AHA. Has he got a point, or is he just trying to protect his patch?